know the adults may or may not know this story. Kids, really listen, because at the end we're going to have a quick, like, we're going to see who knows the most, not the knows the most, but tells me the summary. Back to me. Joseph, the son of Jacob by Rachel, was loved by his father more than his 11 brothers, so his brothers hated him. Joseph had a couple of dreams that represented his family bowing down to him, and he told his brothers about those dreams. You might think, why did he do that? But there was a reason for it. His brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites, who took Joseph to Egypt from Canaan. So this is why Joseph is in Egypt, because his brothers sold him. They were so angry at him, they hated him. Joseph then, so Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, bought Joseph from the Ishmaelites. Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of bad behavior. He was innocent, which is all in the Bible, the whole story is there, and Potiphar put him in prison. Genesis 39:21 tells us, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. That's important to know. Joseph became known in prison for interpreting dreams, and Pharaoh heard about Joseph. He heard about this man in prison. And basically, Pharaoh had some dreams he wanted interpreted, so he went to seek out Joseph, and Joseph interpreted those dreams of Pharaoh, that Egypt will have 7 years of abundance, followed by 7 years of famine. Pharaoh, because he was so impressed, and actually if you read about this, he says, you are a wise and discerning man. I am going to put you in charge over Egypt, just one level below me. So basically Joseph, and this is actually just this incredible story. He went from prison to being the head of Egypt. I am summarizing this so quickly, but it's actually incredible what happened to Joseph. Jacob, Joseph's father, who was still in Canaan, learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt and sent his sons to buy grain, okay, because they needed grain. They were hungry. Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him, and this is sort of an image of them bowing down to him, just as he had dreamed. If you remember earlier, he'd said, I had a dream, and you're going to bow down to me, and he told his brothers, and now it's coming true. After Joseph tested his brothers, he had compassion on them, and Pharaoh invited them to live in Egypt. Genesis 45, verses 5 and 8, this is Joseph speaking to his brothers, tells us about Joseph's compassion, and there's so much more about Joseph's compassion. I'm just literally summarizing this, but he says, and now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For it was not you who sent me here, but God. That is so important. I cannot tell you how much I love the story, and I think you can tell I love it. But it's just amazing. If you think you're having problems with your family, read this, okay? Because it tells you how to be compassionate with your family, and it's so important for all of us. Joseph just really had compassion. He wept. There were so many times when he wept. Jacob's family then joined Joseph in Egypt. This is just a little image of Jacob, his father, joining them in Egypt and settled there. 70 people in total. That's what Genesis 46:27 tells us. Quite a large family. Now we're going into Exodus 1. And if you've read Exodus 1, it just really just jumps right in, really. Kind of skips over about 400 years. And what it says is, it says the sons of Israel, and Jacob was actually renamed as Israel. That's something important to know. I'm not sure if the kids learned that, but I think all the adults should know that. He was renamed as Israel in Genesis 32, and again, he was renamed again in another verse. He was blessed twice. Who came into Egypt? These sons, they multiplied greatly and became exceedingly strong. Hundreds of years later, so this is the beginning of Exodus, a new king arose over Egypt. He thought the people of Israel were too many and too mighty. Imagine all these people, they were just taking over. That's what he felt. That's what Pharaoh felt. And he was not a nice man. So he set taskmasters over them to give them heavy burdens. So now we go straight into Exodus 1 when Moses is basically born. That's what we're going to talk about next. Pharaoh then ordered that every son that is born to the Hebrews or the Israelites to be cast into the Nile River. Okay, that's not a very nice thing at all, is it? A baby was then born to a Levite man and a woman. So the Levites are the line of Levi, Jacob's tribe. So yeah, this is Hebrew descendants of Levi, one of the sons of Jacob. His mother made a basket and placed him in this basket in the river. And as you can see here in the image, actually, his sister Miriam was overlooking. So the daughter of Pharaoh, interestingly enough, this story just couldn't get any better, actually. The daughter of Pharaoh saw the baby in the basket and took pity on him. So Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses because she drew him out of the water. She raised him as her son. And interestingly enough, actually, Moses was able to actually be nursed by his own mother because Miriam was there. And she said, I know a woman who can nurse him. So luckily, you know, Moses had his mum in the early years. Which you should all read this. It's an amazing story. As an adult, Moses saw an Egyptian man beating a Hebrew, one of his people. Moses, this is as an adult now. We've already skipped a bunch of years. Moses killed the Egyptian. Yeah? You got that? Pharaoh found out and wanted to kill Moses. So now Pharaoh's even more angry. So Moses had to flee. He fled to Midian where he met his wife and two sons. He was a shepherd for 40 years for his father-in-law, Jethro. And actually, we hear in Stephen's testimony in Acts 7, this is actually where he says Moses lived in Midian for 40 years. So there's sort of three sets of Moses' life, 40 years, 40 years, 40 years, and this is the second part. So, did you all catch that? I hope that was 5 minutes. It was a really, really quick summary. Would you like an even quicker one? And I would love the kids to help. Can you all help or not? I can see a bunch of kids up here. I don't know what Mina's doing.
Wait.
Oh.
Well, I think there's a special guest coming to give out some sweets. Anyone heard of the tent inspector before? The tent inspector, I think I saw him outside somewhere.
I think we saw him.
Yeah. The tent inspector, for anyone that doesn't know, we go on a yearly visit to this place called Carroty Wood. It's like a kids' camp on a weekend. And the tent inspector's there making sure tents are tidy and giving out prizes for whoever remembers the memory verse and things like this. But I think I've seen him. Nobody knows the true identity of the tent inspector. Please, tent inspector, please give him a round of applause. Come in. Come in. Come to the front, tent inspector, please. Yeah. Who is this mystery man? By now, the tent inspector is just a movement. We don't know who he is. Like, it's incredible. Right. So, tent inspector, please just hand these out to anyone who gets anything right.
Okay. Wow, we have a special guest. How exciting. Okay, he's going to help us with this even quicker summary. I have basically got 7 points, I believe, that we're going to run through. And really, what I want you kids to do is to tell me a summary. So if you can think back to Genesis 37, what was the first thing that happened? That's exactly it. If you didn't hear, Jemima said, I'm going to put a microphone on the kids from now on. She said his brothers didn't like him, so they sold him into slavery. And that's exactly it. Perfect. Joseph's brothers sell him into slavery and he is taken to Egypt. That was the second part. So, who wants to go next? I might put the microphone on you if that's okay. Do you have something? No? I think Berenika does. Should we give it to Berenika?
Jacob sent Joseph's brothers to go to Egypt to buy grain.
And then what happened? Yes. But what happened when they got to Egypt? Do you know what happened when they got to Egypt? No? Anybody else? Huh?
He was sent to prison.
Yes. That's it. Thank you. He was sent to prison. Yep. That was the next one. Okay. Let me look at the next one. So what happened? So we're going to skip the part. We know that then what happens is that Joseph interprets the dreams of the Pharaoh. So let's go right after that point. Anybody want to tell me what happens after that point? What happens? Do you want to do it again? Oh, we've got somebody back here. Oh, let's go.
Famine.
Yes, and then, well, what happens after Joseph interprets the dreams? I'm going to let Jax have a go. Oh, Mina wants to have a go. We're going to come back to you. Jax was...
He answers the Pharaoh's dreams.
And then what happens?
He comes in charge.
Yes, that's exactly it. He becomes second in line. Let's go back, sorry. Joseph rises to power in Egypt after interpreting Pharaoh's dreams and being released from prison. Sorry, somehow my slide went funny. So now he's in power. Jacob wants to basically, there's famine in Canaan. And yes, so we are, what happens is we kind of skip a lot. Let's go to see what you have to say.
His brothers come to get some food, grain.
That's exactly it. So his brothers come and get some grain, and they test him. And then what happens? Do they stay in Egypt? Do they leave Egypt?
They go back to Egypt to give the food to their dad.
And do they stay?
Yeah.
Yes, they stay. Well done. So Joseph's family joins him in Egypt, which is after all the grain and the test. There was testing. Oops, sorry. did any of you catch that? So what was the next thing? We're going straight into Exodus 1. So hundreds of years later, what happened? What did Pharaoh do? What did Pharaoh do? The Pharaoh that doesn't like... Ooh, I think I see.
He wants to kill all the babies in Israel.
No, not in Egypt.
In Egypt.
Perfect. That was amazing. Yes, he wants to kill the babies, the Hebrew babies, in Egypt. So he orders the firstborn sons to be cast into the Nile River to basically die. What is the next thing? So, can you tell us what happens? Who is found in that river? Ooh, who has not answered one yet? I want to see. Maybe we should... Yeah,
the mum puts Moses in a basket.
Yes. And who finds the basket?
Pharaoh's daughter.
Yes, Pharaoh's daughter. Very good. So Moses is born and found in the Nile River by Pharaoh's daughter, then raised as her son. We have one more point. This is going to summarize what happened next to Moses when he became an adult. We're going to come to you in 2 seconds, because I think you might know.
Joseph is in the prison.
There was a fire on the bush?
Not yet. We're coming to the burning bush later. and he did go to prison, but we've already passed that point. Yes.
He
kills someone. So we've got that from Jemima. Moses kills a man, and then where does he go? Anybody want to answer? Jax? And what happened? Where did he go?
Midian.
Yes, well done. Amazing. Thank you all. Thank you all. That's it. Moses kills a man and flees to Midian, where he lived for 40 years. Great. Thank you all. We're going to do worship now. I don't know if you want to get us into worship. But basically, the next bit is Moses encountering God at the burning bush, which we're going to do later.
Thank you. Thank you. Well done, guys, for answering all those questions. Okay. The evil taskmasters. He'd been amongst them. He'd heard and seen firsthand what they were going through. And he was there to act. It says in Exodus 4:31, so the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he looked on their affliction. Then they bowed down and bowed their heads and worshipped. And in the same way, God looks upon us all. He looks upon man. And he can see how sin and death has got us in a chokehold. And that causes us to be in eternal separation with God. But yet God has been amongst us. He sends Jesus. Jesus comes in the form of a man, lives amongst us. He takes upon our sins, breaks the power of death, and gives us his righteousness and life in return. God showed up. He showed up. And much like how Moses saw the burning bush in the desert, when Jesus came and lived among us, when he visited us, men saw a strange sight. They saw a man, but they saw more than a man. They saw a man consumed and filled with the Spirit of God. And many people had to turn aside and look at this strange sight. Many people had to come and hear what this man had to say. They'd seen teachers before. They've heard all the preachers. They've seen all the holy men. But not like this. This was different. And many are drawn to him and are still drawn to him today. Going back to Moses, he would have seen countless burning bushes in the desert. It's not an uncommon thing. It's quite common in the desert to see bushes on fire. But this bush that he saw didn't go out. And as Michael said with his deep voice, I must turn aside and see this strange sight. That was my impression of him, by the way. Moses had to look. This was a different bush. But it really, when you look at it, when you look at the bush, it's kind of a picture of our lives. When actually, when we're filled and consumed by God's Spirit, and the effect of that is alluring. It draws people towards us. Last week, I was talking to one of the guys who's just started coming, Rory, and he was saying how, like, his journey and meeting Christians has been really impactful, and there's almost a sense of something different around them that he can't explain, but it's something that he wants. It's something that he's drawn to. And I can only agree with that. In some ways, I'm a product of that. I mean, when I was in school, you know, there's boys all around. They're doing what they do. People are fighting. Some are trying to stay off the grid. Some are in the playground playing too much basketball, trying to make it to the NBA. That didn't work out, obviously, but it's all right. Praise God. But I saw a strange sight when I was in school. I saw someone that was different. The way he carried himself, it was different. The way he interacted with the teachers and the fellow students, it was different. So I had to ask him. I said, like, why are you the way you are? What makes you tick? What's going on under the surface? And it was there he began to share his faith in Jesus Christ with me. I've shared this story sometimes before in the past, but I have to say that this guy, Rene, that we can see here on the left, was very much an encouragement to me following Jesus today. And again, it's so powerful just to have God's presence with us, taking an average, everyday, ordinary life and putting us in places where we may not be expected to be. I mean, again, dirt in itself is not special, but God used it to make man. Moses had a stick, but he used it to dethrone a powerful, powerful leader. The bush wasn't special, but God filled it with his presence. And again, the more I follow Christ, the more I follow Jesus, I realize that he's incredible at using ordinary things. You see, back in Egypt, they were surrounded by gods. The children of Israel, they were surrounded by all the other gods. But only one God showed up. Only one God was there to deliver them. All the others could only do is stand by idle, not even watch. They don't have eyes. It's just stone. And again, God showed up, got amongst them and said, I'm going to be the one to take you from this place to a land flowing with milk and honey. So again, God doesn't just save us from sin and death. He saves us to life and life in his kingdom. Again, in a moment, we're about to take the Lord's Supper. And why do we do this? In short, it's just to remind us that our God showed up. He came to set his people free. He came to set us free and bring us back to him. I've got some Jewish clients, and every year they celebrate the Passover to remind them of how God, through Moses, freed them from Egypt. And at that time, they had to take a spotless lamb, sacrifice that lamb, and apply the blood to the doorposts to escape God's judgment. And so now, if we fast forward, this is Jesus at the Passover with his disciples. Just before he's about to lay down his life, just before he's about to be crucified, he leaves his followers and future followers, that's us today, with a reminder of how he showed up. He said, when you come together, take this bread and wine in remembrance of me. Remember my body was broken for you. Remember my blood was shed for you. He was buried and died. But then 3 days later, he rose again, confirming that it's over, it's finished. Sin and death have been defeated. And now eternal life is available to everyone who follows him. He's the God that visited us and said, not too long from now, I'm going to come back and bring you to where I am. So again, if you're hearing this for the first time, I'd like to invite you to follow Jesus. I'd like you to come and put your trust in the God that shows up. We can pray with you. We've got elders here if you want to put your hands up, elders and wives as well. Find one. Maybe stand up, actually, because it's a bit more visible. We'd love to pray with you. There's one at the back there as well. God has visited us, and by his Spirit, he's here even now. He is the God that shows up. If you'd like to stand, we're going to take the communion. Leslie and team. Yeah. Leslie and team, if you want to come forward. If you guys want to. So just to let you know that parents, if you feel like your kid or child even understands what this is about Jesus shedding his blood and life for us, then please, by all means, allow them to take it. But if not, we leave it completely in your hands. And the same for adults. Please don't feel obliged to take this in any way. We want to be respectful of this. This is a very serious but liberating thing as well at the same time. Do you want me to review? Yeah.
I was focusing on him.
Okay, yeah. So I'm saying that, like, we're going to take communion now. Okay, and the responsibility is completely to you. So if you believe that your child understands that this is, participating in Jesus' blood and body, then, and he understands that it was his body broken and blood shed for him or her, then by all means let them take it. But if they don't understand, then please, yeah. But the responsibility is on you to understand that. Now we've got a bit of time. So does anyone want to come and give thanks for anything? Because actually at this time, it says that Jesus gave thanks, broke the bread. So if anyone's got anything to be thankful about now might be a good time, just before. Yeah. Please don't take the bread before. I want to take it all together. Okay, so just hold it once you have it in your hand.
So my mum was ill, and now she's better. I give thanks.
Say that again.
My mum was ill, so she was in hospital, but now she's out and she's better.
Praise God. Praise God. It's that simple. We give thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing.
Michelle and I had a really difficult situation at work, and God has rescued us this week. He just came in and turned the whole circumstance around. So we really praise God.
Yeah. I want to give thanks because I was in Morrison's yesterday, and there was someone there, and I just sort of, he was about 7 foot tall, and the Doritos were very near him. So I asked him if he could take one down for me, and I don't know what happened, but started talking about Jesus. And I said, Bassett Street. And he didn't have his phone with him, so I said, it's 21 Bassett Street. So he said, Bassett, like the sweets? So I said, yes. And we were talking for quite a while, and I was really surprised how I don't know anything about gaming. I started talking about gaming, and we were talking for a while. And anyway, his name's Harry, he's 19, and he said that he'll come to the 5 o'clock service. So praise God. I just want to say, even if he doesn't come, the seed has been sown. Amen.
Thank you, Sandra. Praise God. Father, we thank you and we give you praise, Lord. We thank you that you showed up for us, Lord. You gave us hope. Lord, you gave us light in the darkness, Lord, like a burning bush, unquenchable in the desert for us, Lord. Lord, you sent your son, Jesus, whose body was broken for us. So we take this bread now, remembering this, until you come again. Amen. And again, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus, whose life was shed for us, Lord. The very blood from his body was given as a sacrifice for us, that we could have eternal life. We praise you, Lord, for this unfathomable gift, this gift of sacrifice. We take this blood now in remembrance of him. Amen.